Hello and welcome back to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am Butcher Amateur Catechist Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Today is the very last day of 2021, December the 31st in the year of our Lord, 2021. I'm sipping Pike's Place, the medium roast from the infamous Starbucks, and some half and half, no Oberweiss eggnog. I could have put some in, but I think I'll save it for to mix something with later for the evening. So the 31st is also when we remember John Wycliffe, priest and translator of the Bible into English, who was sometimes called the forerunner of the English Reformation. So Roman Catholic priest who translated into English the Bible. So let's open with some prayer, shall we? Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. So, question 134, it's at the bottom of page 58, top of 59, it's split up. Question 134. What benefits do you receive through the partaking of this sacrament? Answer. As my body is nourished by the bread and wine, my soul is strengthened by the body and blood of Christ. I receive God's forgiveness, and I am renewed in the love and unity of the body of Christ, the church. What are the benefits? What do I get from receiving what benefits do you receive through partaking of this sacrament? As my body is nourished by the bread and the wine, my soul is strengthened by the body and blood of Christ. I receive God's forgiveness, and I am renewed in the love and the unity of the body of Christ, the church. So the references are the 1662 Catechism, which we've gone over before. So let's go into the scriptural. Psalm 28, 6 through 9. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Psalm 104, 14 to 15. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock, and you plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen men's hearts. Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor, each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Next is from the Gospel of our Lord according to St. John, chapter 6, verses 52 to 56. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." And then from the 17th chapter, verses 22 to 24, "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world." And the final is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 19, verses 6 to 9. "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints.' And the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, question 134. What benefits do you receive through partaking of the sacrament? So, what is the direct benefit to you? So there's a nourishment of the body with bread and wine, however small it might be in this particular instance. But as we remember, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. My soul is strengthened by the body and blood of Christ. So there's a strengthening of the soul that occurs in receiving the sacrament. I receive God's forgiveness. Why? Because we must ask for forgiveness before coming to the table. And I am renewed in the love and unity of the body of Christ, the church. So it's also tied to my unity with others. Communion, things that we do in common together. We are communing together. I am joining myself to my fellow believers, both at the table I am partaking and at every table that has ever been partaken from every table that any Christian has ever received from, we are joining in communion with them, all the way back to the apostles, all the way back to that table with Christ, right? Because we're ultimately communing with God and then with each, all other believers through space and time and those in the future. And it's funny how we think science fiction movies are trying to blow our minds. This should blow our minds. Christ is literally spreading his kingdom mouth to mouth across generations. I receive forgiveness and I am renewed, refreshed, brought to life again in the love and unity of the body of Christ, the church. So, to all believers across space and time. So, Augustine of Hippo, I was looking at Psalms, so Psalm 28, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed." Obviously, they're pointing towards Christ. "Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever." So, Augustine of Hippo. "The Lord is the strength of his people. Not that the people, not the people ignorant of the righteousness of God and willing to establish their own, for they thought not themselves strong in themselves. For the Lord is the strength of his people, struggling in this life's difficulties with the devil, and the protector of the salvation of his Christ, that having saved them by his Christ after the strength of war, he may protect them at the last with the immortality of peace. Here ends the reading. So again, understanding the strength is of the Lord. It is not in our own strength, but we are strengthened and established by God to continue in good works. Psalm 104, which is tough for some Baptists, I know, but, and wine to gladden the heart of men, of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. That's quite a set of verses, considering that we incorporate all of those as sacramental items, the wine and the bread, and of course, holy oil. The other, of course, being water. Augustine of Hippo, and wine maketh glad the heart of man. Let no man prepare himself for intoxication. Nay, let every man prepare him for intoxication. How excellent is thy cup which maketh inebriate. We choose not to say, let no man be drunk, be inebriated, be aware from what source. If the excellent cup of the Lord doth saturate you, your ebriety shall be seen in your works. It shall be seen in the holy love of righteousness. It shall lastly be seen in the estrangement of your mind from things earthly to heavenly. To make him a cheerful countenance with oil. What is the making of the countenance cheerful with oil? The grace of God, a sort of shining for manifestation, as the apostle saith, the Spirit is given to every man for manifestation. A certain grace, which men can clearly see in men, to conciliate holy love, is termed oil, for its divine splendor, and since it appeared most excellent in Christ, the whole world loveth him, who, though while here he was scorned, is now worshipped by every nation. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he shall be governor among the people. For such is his grace, that many who do not believe in him praise him, and declare that they are unwilling to believe on him, because no man can fulfill what he doth command. They who with reproaches once raged against him are hindered by his very praises. Yet by all is he loved, by all he is preached, because he is excellently anointed. Therefore he is Christ, for he is called Christ from the chrism or anointing which he had, Messiah in the Hebrew, Christ in the Greek, unctus in the Latin, but he anointeth over his whole body. All therefore who come receive grace, that their countenances may be glad with oil, and bread strengtheneth man's heart. What is this, brethren? As it were, he hath forced us to understand what bread he was speaking of. For while that visible bread strengtheneth the stomach, feedeth the body, there is another bread which strengtheneth the heart, and that is the bread of the heart. Here ends the reading. I really enjoyed the first part of this, where he essentially turns the concept of intoxication to alcohol into an intoxication with the Spirit, which, of course, Paul's, as I say that, I just remember Paul saying, you know, be drunk in the Spirit. So it's that comparison of the way in which the liberality that ensues from too much wine, and it's possible to have a little bit of wine and not too much, for many, not for some. For some, I understand alcohol is a great problem. So this is not necessarily telling people to drink, but if you are able, have some, not too much, have some, but do not become drunk. But the greater story here, the greater illustration is to be drunk on the Spirit, to have that liberality of spirit that wine makes, in the similar way that that wine or alcohol gives you, that liberality of spirit, that cheerfulness, that graciousness. Now, obviously not everybody's a good when they're had too much wine, but that's generally what happens. And that's the idea that's being drawn out here, is this refreshing of the spirit, refreshing of our souls. Let's see. Going on to Jeremiah. Behold, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, and I will write it on their heart. Right. So here's Cyril of Alexandria, who's actually making some commentaries on Luke, where it's a reference to writing on their hearts. It's good and short. Cyril of Alexandria. It was probable, however, that the holy apostles would perhaps think these things difficult to put into practice. Therefore, he who knows all things takes the natural law of self-love as the arbiter of what anyone would wish to obtain from another. Treat others, he says, such as you wish them to treat you. If you would have them harsh and unfeeling, fierce and wrathful, revengeful and ill-disposed, treat them this way. But if, on the contrary, you would have them kind and forgiving, do not think it a thing intolerable to be so yourselves. In the case of those so disposed, the law is perhaps unnecessary, because God writes on our hearts the knowledge of his will. For in those days, says the Lord, I will surely give my law into their minds and will write them on their hearts. Here ends the reading. And now let's turn to the Book of Homilies. I've read different sections of the 27th homily, the first part, the sermon concerning the sacrament. I'm going to read the end of it. And the second one actually kind of goes into the questions that are following. So here is the sermon. So the end of the sermon concerning the sacrament. Now it followeth to have with this knowledge a sure and constant faith, not only that the death of Christ is available for the redemption of the world, for the remission of sins, and reconciliation with God the Father, but also that he hath made upon his cross a full and sufficient sacrifice for thee, a perfect cleansing of thy sins, for that thou acknowledgest no other Savior, Redeemer, Mediator, Advocate, Intercessor, but Christ only, and that thou mayest say with the Apostle that he loved thee and gave himself for thee. For this is to stick fast to Christ's promise, made in his institution, to make Christ thine own, and to apply his merits unto thyself. Herein thou needest no other man's help, no other sacrifice or oblation, no sacrificing priest, no mass, no means established by man's invention. That faith is a necessary instrument in all these holy ceremonies, we may thus assure ourselves. For that, as St. Paul saith, without faith it is impossible to please God. When a great number of the Israelites were overthrown in the wilderness, Moses, Aaron, and Phinehas did eat manna and please God, for that they understood, saith St. Augustine, the visible meat spiritually. Spiritually they hungered it, spiritually they tasted it, that they might be spiritually satisfied. And as truly as the bodily meat cannot feed the outward man unless it be let into a stomach to be digested, which is healthsome and sound, no more can the inward man be fed, except his meat be received into his soul and heart, sound and whole in faith. Therefore, saith Cyprian, when we do these things, we need not to wet our teeth, but with sincere faith we break and divide that holy bread. It is well known that the meat we seek for in this supper is spiritual food, and the nourishment of our soul a heavenly reflection and not earthly, an invisible meat and not bodily, a ghostly substance and not carnal, such as to think that without faith we may enjoy the eating and drinking thereof, or that is the fruition of it. It is but to dream a gross carnal feeding, basely objecting and binding ourselves to the elements and creatures. Whereas by the advice of the Council of Nicene, we ought to lift up our minds by faith, and leaving these inferior and earthly things, there seek it, where the sun of righteousness ever shineth. Take then this lesson, O thou art desirous of this table, of Emissimenus, a godly father, that when thou goest up to the reverend communion, to be satisfied with spiritual meats, thou look up with face upon the holy body and blood of thy God, who thou marvel with reverence, thou touch it with thy mind, thou receive it with the hand of thy heart, and thou take it fully with thy inward man. Thus we see, beloved, that restoring to this table, we must pluck up all the roots of infidelity, all distrust in God's promises. We must make ourselves living members of Christ's body. For the unbelievers and faithless cannot feed upon that precious body, whereas the faithful have their life, their abiding in him, their union, and as it were, their incorporation with him. Wherefore, let us prove and try ourselves unfeignedly, without flattering ourselves, whether we be plants of the fruitful olive, living branches of the true vine, members indeed of Christ's mystical body, whether God hath purified our hearts by faith to the sincere acknowledging of his gospel and embracing of his mercies in Christ Jesus, that so at this his table we receive not only the outward sacrament, but the spiritual thing also, not the figure, but the truth, not the shadow only, but the body, not to death, but to life, not to destruction, but to salvation, which God grant us to do through the merits of our Lord and Savior, to whom be all honor and glory forever. Amen. Here ends the reading. That is such a large restatement of what's essentially being said in the Catechism. You receive forgiveness, which was no small thing. No small thing. And I am renewed in the love and unity of the body of Christ, the Church. And at the end of the second sermon, it ends with what's become known as the Prayer of Humble Access. We are not worthy, O Lord, so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. I think I have pretty well worn my way through this particular question without wandering into the other question and answers. So I want to thank you for listening. Feedback at amateuranglican@gmail.com, amateuranglican@gmail.com. Again, this is a encouragement to pick up the catechism and study your catechism and to teach others, to encourage catechesis throughout the province and beyond, to encourage it in our parishes, to encourage is just an absolute normative thing. So far better than it's more like a guided Bible study than a Bible study where we sort of sit around and everyone ponders and pontificates. Let us actually pick up the instructions from those who have studied and take lessons from the church and our leaders. Let's see if I've said all the things. So we're going to close it out with, this is the last show of 2021. Boom, boom, boom. What shall 2022 bring? Lord God in heaven, send down your mercy. So I'm going to do the collect of the day and then the collect for endurance, because surely we will need it. So the collect of the day is for John Wycliffe, priest and translator of the Bible into English, 1384. O God, our Heavenly Father, you raised up your faithful servant John Wycliffe to be a pastor in your church and to feed your flock. Give abundantly to all pastors the gifts of your Holy Spirit, that they may minister in your household as true servants of Christ and stewards of your divine mysteries. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And then a collect for endurance, and may you have strength in this new year, whatever that brings for each and every one of us, and for you individually, and me, and my family, and your family, and the household of God. Almighty God, whose most dear Son Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified. Mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.